From the land to Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois, this is the Closing Market Report. It's the 23rd day of August, 2022. I'm Extension's Todd Gleason. Coming up in this half hour, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Wayne Nelson from L&M Commodities in New Market, Indiana. Hear about U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack's visit to Central Illinois this morning. Emily Hayes, Illinois Newsroom, will have that story, and then we'll catch up with Sherman Newland at Risk Management Commodities. He's on the Western leg of the Pro Farmer Crop Tour. And as we wrap up our time together, Don Day from Day Weather will tell us about the forecast here and the weather in China, all on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Todd Gleason's services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
September corn for the day settled at $6.60. That was up 26.5. December at 6.55 1/4. 26 1/4 higher in March. Up 25 1/4 cents at $6.61 1/2. September beans gained 39 3/4 cents to settle at $15.66 3/4. November at 14.61. Up 25 3/4. And January futures at 14.66 3/4. Up 24 3/4. Soybean meal 468.50. Up $8 today, and the bean oil at $69.59, 82 cents higher. Soft red winter wheat settled at $7.82 3/4, 12 1/4 higher. The hard red in the September, $8.82 1/2, up 17 1/4 cents. Live cattle futures in Chicago finished the nearby at $144.60. They were up a dime for the afternoon. The feeder cattle at $184.45, down $2.02 1/2. And lean hogs for 100 pounds at $92.90, $1.07 1/2 lower for the day. Wayne Nelson now joins us from L&M Commodities. It's not a turnaround Tuesday because things are higher. Are they just watching what's happening in the field at the Pro Farmer Tour?
Well, that's very important. That very much played into it through the day yesterday as we saw the reports, less than what they were thinking about. Then after there, we got the crop ratings, and of course, they decreased in corn and beans, both that way. And then we saw that the FSA had a little larger numbers of prevent plant and failed crop than what we were thinking might be out there, too. So all of those things started the overnight a little higher. And then, of course, we saw an announcement of Chinese buying of some soybeans today.
Do you think this can continue?
You know, we got up to some points here where it looks good. Some of the guys are saying could be a breakout, could be whatever. But, you know, we watched up and we got up against some resistant points today. And we saw a lot of activity. The phones actually were ringing today, and seeing some points here we might take a break after and see what's going on. I think it's going to depend a lot on what Pro Farmer sees tomorrow. I think that, we saw some little, some setbacks, some Champaign County corn, under 200, down to the 150 range. I mean, those are things we're not really looking for. You know, the funds come back in today. They bought 9,000 wheat, 10,000 corn and beans. And, is this start? Will there be 3 days here along the way, or will we sort of fell off our highs by the time we close today? So I think it's going to be a little bit cautious, but definitely a lot better chances than we had just a week ago.
So producers, others will be watching the field scouts on the Pro Farmer Tour. They'll be in Iowa and have more numbers tomorrow from that state, Illinois again tomorrow as well, and then they wrap up in Minnesota. I suspect the numbers will start to get better in the next 2 days. Is that going to put pressure in the marketplace?
Well, we'll just say that it might stop the rally is more what we're thinking about, because are we going to see numbers big enough to average out the losses we've seen the first couple of days? Good chance we probably will. You know, Michael Cordonnere, he left his production figures the same. He's thinking like the 174 and the 50.5, that way. So, he's still leaving his 173, I'm sorry, in a 50.5. So, that. One of the other things going on here, Todd, is the stock market. The Fed's the big talk Friday, will they actually go with a 3/4% raise or whatever? A lot of talk about that. We've seen our dollar being detrimental to our exports, where we were getting just about equal with the European currency again that way, the euro dollar, and a little bit of concern about that. But it was good to see China back in the market, actually making some purchases today.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Wayne Nelson. He's with L&M Commodities. This morning, U.S. Secretary of Agriculture Tom Vilsack was in Illinois to visit One Earth Energy in Gibson City, and Casey's in Leroy. He and U.S. Senator Tammy Duckworth, the Democrat from the state of Illinois, were here to talk about the investments being made in biofuels, blender pumps in particular, as it relates to the Inflation Reduction Act, as you'll hear from Illinois Newsroom's Emily Hayes.
Duckworth admires a new yellow handle at a pump at a Casey's General Store in Leroy. Drivers can now fill up their tanks with E85, a fuel made mostly from ethanol. Duckworth says ethanol is both locally grown and cheaper than gasoline.
The higher that we can blend in more ethanol, the better it is for folks who are trying to fill up the gas tank. If you look at the numbers up there, unleaded is $3.85, but E85 is $2.80.
The U.S. Department of Agriculture is accepting applications for $100 million in similar projects to retrofit gas stations, thanks to the Inflation Reduction Act. Duckworth voted yes on that bill. I'm Emily Hayes, Illinois Newsroom.
You may learn more about this story on our website at willag.org, willag.org. Look for the video with Senator Duckworth, Secretary Vilsack, and VP of Fuels for Casey's, Nathaniel Doddridge. He says the Inflation Reduction Act will allow his company to add blender pumps at 80 more stores. Well, the Pro Farmer Crop Tour is underway today. They're in Nebraska, along with Indiana and parts of Illinois. You can find a running feed from the Crop Scouts on our website right now at willag.org. Brian Grady, the editor for the Pro Farmer newsletter, is on the eastern leg of the tour, so he traveled through Ohio yesterday, although he has the numbers from South Dakota and the results for both states.
Yeah, day one complete of the Pro Farmer Crop Tour here, and we had results for Ohio and South Dakota. So in the state of Ohio, corn starting off with that, 174.2 bushels per acre, down 5.9% from last year. Last year was a record crop, and we had record results on Crop Tour, and so not as much consistency, way more variable than last year's crop, and that leads to a lower yield potential, I think, as we move forward here. On the soybeans in Ohio, 1131.6, and that was down 5.3%. Last year's pod counts were pretty spectacular in Ohio. Not quite there right now, but they do have moisture, and some of the fields are still blooming, and so they could add to it. I wouldn't get too concerned there. I think that the soybean crop in Ohio is very good. I think the corn crop in Ohio is very good compared to normal. It's just not, they're not as good as what they were last year. Now, in South Dakota, corn yield of 118.5 bushels per acre, down almost 22% from what they found in the state last year. The southeast corner is where we sample from in South Dakota, and that's normally the sweet spot within the state. Not the case this year. Actually, areas north of where we sample from in that southeast corner probably have better corn than what they do in that southeast corner. So keep that in mind as you look at these results and just realize that we probably pulled from a lesser area this year. And then on soybean pod counts, 871.4, down 12.6%. So the soybean pod counts were obviously down as well. Just speaking a little bit here to the growing season so far, in Ohio, they had some issues with late plantings and those types of things. It held some of the crop back, not as much as what it did out west, obviously, and they fought dryness and heat, and that combination really did show up as their numbers came out of South Dakota and pretty obvious there with the major year-over-year reductions. On day two of the crop tour, we'll head from Indianapolis here to Bloomington on the eastern side, and the scouts on the western side will go from Grand Island to Nebraska City. We'll have final results for Indiana and the state of Nebraska on Tuesday evening.
That was Brian Grady. He's leading the eastern leg of the Pro Farmer Crop Tour. On the western leg, we find Sherman Newland. I talked to him earlier today and caught up with him just about the time he was entering a Nebraska cornfield.
Yes, I'm into the cornfield, so going to pull some samples here in a second. So,
is it irrigated or dry land?
This is dry land. This is dry land. We started out this morning headed east, and then we took a short jog to the north, and we've been jogging north and east all morning. We just turned south at Wahoo, Nebraska, and pulling some samples. We did pull some. Our first stops were in Hamilton County, I believe, and it was irrigated, and a lot better corn, a lot better things today as far as corn goes. Irrigated, the stand counts are higher. One of the stops we had was a 261. The dry land has been in the low 200s, so that's much better. I think the car average is around 201. We are running, actually, Todd, the exact same route we had last year. Obviously, we're stopping in different fields, but we are running about 10 bushel higher on corn than we were at this time last year.
What do you make of this change as you've traveled over the last 24 hours from bad corn to relatively good corn, right, or at least better corn?
Yeah, yesterday was a complete disaster. I mean, we didn't find anything, that I thought was good at all. Dry land was toast. I mean, it's done. There's some zeros out there, some barren stalks. We're finding some 50, 60 bushel dry land corn, where last year, it was making 100 bushel better than that, at least. We talked to some local farmers and whatnot. So they're, it's really bad in that area, but, it is kind of shocking to come this far, a little bit farther east and back to the north and see crops doing so much better. The one thing we are finding is, pod counts, are running significantly lower today on this part of the route than they were last year, and same as yesterday. Pod counts for the beans were lower. I don't look for a good bean crop out of what we did yesterday, and maybe even here today on the dry land without getting some rain really soon.
Last night, did Chip Flory review with the crowd what they might do, Pro Farmer that is, with the numbers that they collected and how they'll put them into the South Dakota national yield when they put that out at the end of the week? Because it wasn't the best part of the state.
No, it probably was not. I mean, they'll look at those numbers, and compare them to the last few years, and come up with some sort of yield estimate. But it was significantly lower than, what USDA had and what we had out here last year. And, from that fact, I went up in North Dakota over the weekend and, came down through Aberdeen. And what I saw in Aberdeen over to Sioux Falls wasn't a whole lot better. I mean, you could definitely tell they had some hail and some drought issues in those areas as well. So looks to me like South Dakota overall is going to be lower, probably a decent amount lower than USDA, but who knows?
And that the weekend run that you had through, were you in Minnesota as well? Minnesota and North Dakota, what'd you see?
Yeah, Minnesota was wet. We started taking some samples west of Minneapolis all the way to Fargo. Not a lot, but just a few, just to get some idea. But the ground was really, really wet. It looked to me like maybe they had, actually maybe had some water damage from too wet in that area. But it wasn't bad yield-wise. But they need time, kind of just like North Dakota. That part of Minnesota needs good time and some heat to finish, because everything, especially in North Dakota, everything was still in the milk stage. Now, some of the stuff we saw in Minnesota was getting far enough along, it's probably going to be fine, but I talked to a farmer last night that I've known for years in southern Minnesota, and he's going to have really good crops in that southern Minnesota area. But again, he doesn't need an early frost.
Hey, anything else before I let you go? We'll talk with you tomorrow otherwise.
Yeah, no, that's about it.
All right. Thanks, Sherman. Have fun, and glad you're out there doing the job for us.
All right. Thanks, Todd.
That's Sherman Newland with Risk Management Commodities. Dan O'Brien now joins us from Kansas State University. He's an agricultural economist there. Hi, Dan. You're way out west in the northwestern corner of the state. How bad are things in your part of the world?
Well, we in northwest Kansas are in a similar situation to this whole western third of the state of Kansas, as well as the rest of the southern half. And those conditions extend up into Nebraska, particularly Northeast Nebraska. I think, you know, the ongoing crop tours, bringing that to light. You've got the issues over in parts of Iowa, at least the drought monitor indicates problems there. So, yes, we have our drought problems here, but we're by no means alone. It's what's this La Nina driven situation we have this year is really playing havoc with the Western Corn Belt.
With that as a background, you released some information yesterday about ethanol and bids and spot basis. Can you tell me something about that?
Yeah, you know, it's kind of both your and my conviction, I think, Todd, that you can tell a lot about the health of ethanol plants by what they're willing to bid for corn, you know, for corn inputs. And of course, when I look at the basis bids in Western Kansas right now, both at the elevator side and at ethanol plants, they're strong. For instance, in Kansas, we have the top end bid of 716 on yesterday's market, 90 over September, and the average bid in the state is about 668 right now. However, you know, when you look at USDA reports on their national daily ethanol report for Illinois bids, your bids on average are actually stronger in Illinois at 685, basis of 45 to 85 over September. So strong prices in that part of the state. And actually, both of our states are trailing behind Western Iowa cash bid at 721 and Nebraska at 715. So lots of folks scrambling without question. It is interesting, even though we've got strong ethanol bids in Kansas, our cash market bids, which would reflect livestock feeders largely and some exports up in this part of the world, livestock feeders largely. Here in Garden City, a bellwether market demand center, again, lots of feedlots, $1.15 over, 748 bid yesterday. And actually in Colby, Kansas, up in the northwest part of the state, strongest bid across the state for what we're watching at $1.21 over, 754 as a cash price. And really nothing at major elevators in Salina, Topeka, Hutchinson, Columbus, down southeast corner of the state, nothing less than a 71 cent over bid. And that's on the spot side. We do see, even for new crop bids out here in Garden City, a 90 cent over basis on V719 for new crop. And for us, it's been kind of a surprise. Southeast Kansas, with its, it's positioned more closely to a lot of livestock feeding operations in Arkansas and Missouri, et cetera. They've been having a really, really strong feed grain bid. Their new crop bid, 75 cents over at 704, and that puts them at basically about the second strongest. New crop bid in the state for what we're watching, and that's rarefied air for Southeast Kansas. But it just shows how the droughts affected the worrisome nature of livestock feeders, ethanol plant operators, et cetera, as they look to try to gather supplies. I would throw one other thing in. We're getting bids out here in the Western Corn Belt from as far away as Utah, and when you go searching up there to find out what are they bidding in Utah, and there's a bid out of Milford, Utah, at $1.15 over there too. So it's not just here where we're at, but some of the we think of them as more isolated demand centers often in the Western states are scrambling as well for corn. And so just interesting. I don't doubt that amongst your cohort that there are stories to tell at the rivers and in inland as to what the different unique situations are as corn users are really scrambling right now to try to secure supplies.
To put this in context, does it tell a story about the Western United States being out of corn, not expecting to fulfill their needs as well, so old crop, new crop, but in the Eastern Corn Belt being out of corn or not being able to capture corn, at least at this point, and that basis might stay stronger than expected even in the face of a good crop in Iowa, Illinois, parts of Indiana.
Yes. Apparently there are worries about just what quantity of corn there'll be. I know from where we're at out here in Western Kansas, we're talking openly about trying to pull corn out of the Eastern Corn Belt by train to come into places like Garden City, probably Hereford, Texas, you know, some of our strongest basis areas, your strongest cash price areas. So that overall pressure is, I think I would not be surprised that your people in Illinois, Indiana, Ohio, et cetera, they're not just competing with local users. They're competing with Western Corn Belt as Western Corn Belt also with their desperate lack of corn is trying to get train loads out of that area to come into this part of the world. So just interesting times to me anyway.
Hey, thank you. I appreciate it.
Thanks, Todd. Take care.
You too. That's Dan O'Brien. He's from Kansas State University Extension. Don Day is now here from Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming, to discuss the forecast across the Corn Belt. Start out in the western and maybe the northwestern part of the belt, the Dakotas, and give me an idea what they see over the next week for weather and how that moves through the rest of the Corn Belt.
Well, we're going to have some active weather, and we're going to be seeing this developing really over the course of, you know, here in the short term. As we go through the next 5 to 7 days, I see more opportunities for shower and thunderstorm activity to move in to the northern and western Corn Belt. This would be Iowa. This would be parts of central and northern Illinois, maybe eastern areas in Nebraska, parts of Missouri and Wisconsin. The eastern side of the Dakotas. So between now and the middle of next week, there will be a couple of systems, frontal systems, that will trigger some shower and thunderstorm activity. So there are some late season rains coming to those areas.
And a different subject matter, because it's been making news lately, drought in China. This is not something that we have discussed with the meteorologist all year long. I thought their growing regions were doing pretty well. What do you know?
Well, that's true. And, you know, someone remarked to me not long ago that China's a big country. It's like the United States. You can have one part of the nation have drought and the other part be wet, kind of like that happens in the U.S. at times. And that's what's going on in China. The real dry conditions that's making the news about the Yangtze being lower has basically avoided some of the key ag areas. As so far, what we've seen with corn and soybeans and wheat conditions in China, the yields are looking not bad. So the key drought area that's making the headlines kind of missing the key ag areas.
Mm-hmm. Hey, thank you very much. I appreciate it, Don.
Thank you.
Don Day is with Day Weather in Cheyenne, Wyoming. Joined us on this Tuesday edition of the Closing Market Report. It came to you from Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world. Find us online. Listen to us on demand at willag.org. And there now you'll find a running feed from the Crop Scouts on the Pro Farmer Crop Tour across the United States. Today they're in Indiana, Illinois, and Nebraska. They'll make their way into Iowa as well tomorrow. You want to stay up with that? It's easy to do at WILLAG.org. The Closing Market Report theme music is produced by Tim Gleason. I'm Illinois Extension's Todd Gleason.